today on Rambling About Cars, Monterey Car Week is almost here, and we're going to give you a little bit of a preview of what's to come. There's still a lot that we don't know. I think there's going to be some surprises. There's going to be some cool stuff. But one thing that we do know right here, right now, is the new GMC Canyon pickup truck. We've got info and details on that. And then we're going to do something a little different and I think a lot of fun. We're going to build a car right here on the podcast, a Nissan Z, virtually, of course. So without further ado, it is podcast time. I am Christopher Smith. And give it up across the way, the one, the only, Mr. Chris Bruce. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. And as always, please, everyone, like, subscribe, and comment. We love all of those things. And just a real quick preview for next week. We were going to be reading a bunch of comments last week because we haven't done that in a little while. You might get some comments this week, too, but lots of comments next week. But
yeah, next week, last week was a busy show. If you didn't catch it, go back and watch it. Best cars of 2022 so far with pretty much all the Motor One editors and us. It was a great show. This week, we've got a lot to talk about. Yeah.
Yep.
But so, we've also had some great comments that we can't wait to get to.
Absolutely. So Monterey Car Week is coming up. Unfortunately, Monterey Car Week isn't technically a week. If you look on the calendar, they do have stuff that starts kind of Sunday and Monday of this coming week, but it's not the most important stuff. The things really kind of kick off on Wednesday. And unfortunately, we usually record our shows on Wednesday. And just for timing and whatnot, it worked out better. We're going to give you a preview of what we know and what we think is coming as of right now. And then in probably 2 weeks, we'll be back here with someone who's actually at the show and we'll do a wrap up and we'll talk about all the cool stuff that was there that we might have missed and maybe auction results and maybe, you know, our guests can tell you what they saw. So you're going to get kind of two hits at Monterey Car Week in the next like 3 weeks or so.
But I tell you, Bruce, does it feel to you sort of like Goodwood felt earlier? Does it feel a little bit bigger than maybe it's been in the last couple of years to you? Because I get a little sense of that.
Totally. Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of back to what it was in like 2018, 2019 mm-hmm. levels, if not maybe a little bit bigger even.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big show this year. And as you'll see, as we go through, I'll tell you, as we go through them, some of the stuff we know is going to be there. Some of the stuff is just rumored to be there, but we got a good feeling. So I don't feel bad about building people's hype up. Cause I got a good feeling. So without further ado, we are going to see two new Aston Martins. Unfortunately, we don't really know what either of them are, kind of, sort of, but they just hyped up two vehicles. We know one of them is going to be DBX related.
Right.
So something DBX related is going to be there. Also, if you're one of the folks that get to go, they are going to have a cockpit from the upcoming Aston Martin Valhalla supercar that you can sit in and kind of get an idea what the view is going to look like and things like that. Not drivable, not like movable, but still a cockpit that you can, you know, rich guys who are there can get in and sit in and feel like, oh, this is what it's going to be like. And hopefully they'll write a deposit check to Aston Martin while they're there.
That's I would get into that.
Yeah,
literally.
Totally. Yeah.
Oh, terrible. It's terrible joke Wednesday. I should just be quiet and let you handle this segment.
No. But no. So this is one we don't know much about. They literally just said we're bringing two cars there and they're also going to have that cockpit for the Valhalla. Look back soon. We'll know about this time next week or a little bit later and we'll be able to tell you. One we know more about and that won't be there is deep breath. The Audi S1 e-tron Quattro Hoonatron.
That's a car that we've already seen, right? But I mean, this is you're going to get to see it in person and come on, it's freaking cool.
Right. This is its North American debut. Not yet been shown to the public in North America. So if you are, and it will be specifically at the Motorsports Reunion at Laguna Seca, I should say Monterey Car Week is a ton of events spread over a week in the Monterey, California area. Kind of the headline event is the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance, but also there's the Motorsports Reunion, which takes place at Laguna Seca. There's the Quail, a Motorsports Gathering, which is like the super rich hoity-toity event where they hand out fresh oysters and you look at really expensive cars. There's, you know, all sorts of other events that take place during that week. There are a ton of auctions.
A lot of auctions. Like Bruce said earlier, we might even have some auction results if there are some record prices, like from supercars and hypercars. I've seen a lot of Ferraris, a lot of really rare stuff that's supposed to be going up for auction this time around. But we were talking about the Hoonatron. Of course, this is going to be Ken Block's electric Gymkhana car for whenever he gets back onto that scene. And obviously, it was based not just loosely. There was a lot of inspiration taking from, you know, Audi's original S1 that that is still just legendary to this day.
And that car will be there. The 1985 Audi Sport Quattro S1 Group B rally car that Walter Roll himself drove up the Pikes Peak International Hill Climb in 1987 and still holds the record for the unpaved version of that course. And no one's going to break it because
it doesn't exist anymore. The pavement
that's there. So it's the fastest dirt version of that course ever. So you've kind of got the new one and the old one that are going to be at this event at the same time. And hopefully they fire them up and take them around the track or something. Cause if they don't, that would just be a waste. Cause they're sitting right there at Laguna Seca. Take around the corkscrew.
I agree. I very much want to see this thing in action.
So moving through them here. Next up. So what was it? Was it 2 years ago? So 2 years ago, or it wasn't last year. Bentley's Mulsanne division came out with the Bacalar.
Yep.
Yes. Sorry for that. And so this year they're going to be coming out with the Batur. It's B-A-T-U-R, and it's apparently named after a lake in Indonesia. In Bali, Indonesia.
I'm not familiar with that part of the world, unfortunately.
Same.
But I'm going to go with the Balur, your pronunciation there.
I think it's Batur.
Batur.
That's my best guess.
I'll go with that one, which means it's probably wrong. But that sounds like the best. That sounds like the best pronunciation for me, but Bentley.
Anyway,
Bentley will have this. They will be debuting this vehicle there.
But here's what makes it cool: it will be limited run. We don't know how many. They only made 12 Bacalars, so I wouldn't suspect they're going to make very many of these. But they're saying that it's going to show their future design language for electric vehicles. They didn't come out and say whether this was an electric vehicle. So there's a little bit of wiggle room there. So this could have an engine. This might be electric. We don't know yet. But this is at least going to show the once Bentley EVs start coming, which right now that's supposed to be in 2026 because they got pushed back a year. They're going to kind of have some of these design cues. So kind of a cool preview of what's to come in a very, very small run vehicle.
And of course, being Monterey, Pebble Beach, nice area for Bentleys. We just had an announcement that came from Bentley today. 103 Bentleys are going to be there. Now, I am sure it's not all like cars shipped over from Bentley. I'm sure they have owners and clubs and groups involved, but they're going to be there with, in some manner, 103 vehicles to celebrate 103 years of Bentley.
And they kind of did something similar. If you remember at the Goodwood Festival of Speed, they were celebrating the first turbocharged Continental from what I think it was 83 or so. And they had a bunch of those there and they did a big parade. So kind of you can really consider Monterey Car Week the American alternative to the Goodwood Festival of Speed. It kind of seems like
in a sense, for sure. And I mean, I'm excited to see a lot of those old Bentleys. I would like to see, I'd like to see what they're going to do with that.
Yep. Another vehicle we're going to see here is also a blast from the past. You'll see what I did there once I pull this image up.
I know where this is going.
Alpha 5. And I like it.
Great Scott. Sorry. DeLorean, even if the new company here is amazingly successful, can they ever move past the Back to the Future franchise? No.
No.
Nope. Bruce, you're shaking your head on the camera. Nope.
Of course they can't.
50 years from now, if the DeLorean reboot here is successful and one pulls into some restaurant somewhere, somebody in that vicinity is going to yell 1.21 gigawatts. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The Alpha 5, which again debuted earlier, that's going to make its public debut here at Monterey at the Car Week.
Yep.
And Bruce, do we know, are there going to be any other DeLoreans there?
There was something about them bringing some possible like concepts that they didn't go with or something like that. I didn't quite understand the story. I didn't write it, if I'm honest. I saw we covered it and I
wrote it and I didn't necessarily understand it. DeLorean, the reboot of DeLorean, they've been doing they've been introducing concepts here through the summer of what could have been. And the story is, well, these are taken from the archives of the original DeLorean company of vehicles that were envisioned for the future, just, you know, in basic sketch form, but obviously were never realized. But then in their announcement, like, you know, there's the DeLorean Alpha 2, which is sort of like a 90s sports car. There's the DeLorean Alpha 3, which is supposed to be sort of like a swoopy sedan-y kind of fastback electric thing.
Wagon-y. We're looking at it here now. Yeah. If you're watching on YouTube.
And DeLorean released all of these images nice renderings. And it was spun as sort of like, you know, this was DeLorean's plan to have all these vehicles. And it's like, well, no, it's really more like just an alternate history of what could have been that leads up to the new car, the Alpha 5 concept. So we know that one's going to be there. And I remember speaking with DeLorean, a DeLorean representative earlier in the year. They did say that they were revealing more concepts through the year. But you know, again, they were very vague in how they were presenting it. So will there be other physical concepts from DeLorean? Honestly, we're not entirely sure at this point. This might just have to be a wait and see scenario, but we know the Alpha 5 is going to be there.
Watch this space. Yeah. The Alpha 5 will be there for sure. Whether there's more, neither one of us know right now. And probably the only people that know work at DeLorean. So in about a week, we'll find out.
Very good.
Here's another story I know you wrote up, and that is that the Hennessy Venom F5 is getting a Roadster version. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of all we know about it, right?
well, not necessarily.
Okay. I'm being unfair.
We know it's going to have the exact same engine. Going by memory here, let's see if I remember, 6.6 liter twin turbo V8 making 1,817 horsepower.
Nailed it.
Hey, look at that. I'm looking right there on the screen. It's the exact same powertrain as the Venom F5 with a roof that hasn't reached the 300 mile an hour mark yet, but it's getting darn close. I think their last run they did as they're trying to build up to hit that benchmark was something like 271 miles an hour. So it's a seriously fast street legal car. All of that power goes to the rear wheels, of course. There's going to be a Roadster version of it. It will be produced in limited numbers. We don't know the details on exactly how they're making the Roadster. You know, I believe it's just going to be a removable type top.
Looking at the image that we're looking at, it sure looks like that's just going to be a removable panel.
If you go by the classic definition of Roadster, I'm talking like classic way back in the day, no roof, period. Mm-hmm. It was just an open roof, you know, an open top vehicle, no roof to put into place. Whether that's the case or not, these are some of the details we don't know. We thought that all the information was going to be released on on the 9th of August, we got the teaser, which, oh, hey, and that's fine. That's cool. The global debut is going to take place at the Quail Monterey Car Week. And I think they have that slated for August 19th, if memory serves on that. So
you are correct.
A 300 mile an hour car with no roof. I think in my article I said, or Hennessy was saying, feel the wind in your hair at 300 miles an hour. It's like, no, the wind just removes your hair at 300 mm-hmm. miles an hour, which totally. If that's the case, then I totally expect Hennessy to use that in their marketing material, because what a great marketing message that would be, right?
So here's one of the vehicles coming up next. Here is one that we're not sure of, but we have an inkling of. So mm-hmm. Lamborghini has been kind of doing something interesting. In their financial results, they announced that they were debuting three new vehicles in August. They confirmed that one of those would be a variant of the Huracan and that two of them would be variants of the Urus. So, and they are teasing, as you can see here, the Huracan Sturato, which is the weirdest idea of a vehicle we've seen in a while.
They can I just substitute weirdest for coolest?
Sure. Yeah.
Because we're talking about, I mean, we're talking about an off-road Huracan, right?
Off-road in the,
I mean, in quotes. Okay. So you're not going to take it to Mohab, but it's like the high riding supercar, right? It's lifted up a little bit. Yeah. It's got some meaty tires, extra body cladding, right?
It's got a roof rack, which is adorable.
Right. It's like the Huracan All Road.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
And I love stuff like this. I love stuff like this. And mm-hmm. I mean, nobody else really in that hypercar realm, supercar realm is really doing anything like this. So no. Bravo to Lamborghini for doing something a little different. I hope this is what we see debuting here coming soon. I can't imagine any other Huracan variant unless they have something.
I mean, the fact that they're teasing this one, unless right. it's a total bait and switch and they're like, got ya. It's got to right. be this. The question is this debuting at Monterey Car Week or not? Because we know it's debuting in August. We know Monterey right. Car Week is in August. We know a bunch of rich people who love supercars are going to be in the same place in that little area of California. So you would think that's where you would do it, but we don't know for certain.
Right.
Yeah.
No, piece it all together. The evidence points in a very singular direction. But this isn't the only Lamborghini there is to talk about. You said there are two versions of the Urus that are going to debut sometime in August. And we think we know one of them might be the vehicle that just set a Pikes Peak record.
Well, that's the funny thing. It didn't just set a Pikes Peak record. It set a Pikes Peak record in what, June?
Yeah, back during the event.
Right. It set a Pikes Peak record in June, and then Lamborghini just kept it under their hat because this vehicle didn't actually compete in the event, mm-hmm. but they had the International Hill Climb folks time it just like they would time any other vehicle. So the time never came out because it was a non-competitive vehicle, but it still got timed. And now, a week before Monterey Car Week, they said, hey, we set the production vehicle record up Pikes Peak. Or production vehicle SUV record. Sorry, I need to clarify. Up Pikes Peak. So, again, the timing just seems way too
convenient.
Too much of a coincidence, yeah. What we don't know is what variant this is. So we have spy shots. We know a refreshed Evo is under development, or a refreshed Urus.
That could be called Evo, right?
Correct. Sorry, I'm mixing up all my words. We don't know if this is the Evo. We know a plug-in hybrid version is under development. Mm-hmm. Could this be the way you put your stamp on your plug-in hybrid by setting a record like this?
Could be.
And then there's also a rumored version called the STX, which would be a high-performance version of the Urus. So
higher, we should clarify.
Yes, high, exactly.
The Urus as it stands already does pretty good. But yes, Bruce, can I take a moment here just to recognize the incredible irony in the room? We started this Lambo discussion with a Huracan Riding Hire featured, you know, prominently in an off-road setting. And then we transitioned to a Urus SUV setting a record on a decidedly paved road course up Pike's Peak.
That's right.
The world has indeed gone mad, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
It is madness. It is pure madness.
And I, real quick, since we're talking about it here, it really like shattered the record. So a Bentley Bentayga in 2018 set the previous record of 10 minutes, 49 seconds, almost 10 minutes, 50 seconds. This Urus did it in 10 minutes, 32 seconds. So nice big cut out of the record there. So it's a speedy SUV.
It's a speedy SUV. And I mean, mad respect for the Bentayga, but I can't help but think there have to be some other SUVs out there that if the manufacturer decided to take them to Pike's Peak, they could probably set that record. I mean, I'm thinking about Aston Martin. I'm thinking about Porsche.
Right. A Cayenne Turbo GT. I would even be curious. You would have to change the tires, I bet, but what like a Jeep Trackhawk would do, or a Durango Hellcat or something like that.
I mean, DBX 707 shows every sign that it could probably set that record. Not to take anything away from Lamborghini, because that's right. Still an insanely great time to get up the big hill. Mm-hmm. And we're still talking about an SUV. So yeah, whatever Lamborghini has cooking here in August, we're thinking it's going to be at Monterey during right. Monterey at some point. So
if you ask me to put down money right now, I'm guessing the Huracan and an Urus are debuting at Monterey. And then whatever the other one is, the other Urus probably comes later. I'm guessing.
You think they'll separate them?
Yeah. I don't think they'll do all three at once. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'll take that bet. Cause I think all three will be there.
Okay.
Makes sense to me. If you're going to do it, I mean, do it all in one spot. Have two vehicles that have been teased that you know about, and then just have one
here's the
to
surprise.
Say, oh, by the way, yeah, you know, here's our surprise. So if you want, I'll take that bet.
Okay. Yeah.
What do you want to bet?
A $5 bet about Corvette
I owe you something. I can't remember what it was. And I will get
it. It was a $5 bet. It was not...
I will get there. I'll send you a pizza or something, man.
Well, here. We'll just parlay the bet. Now,
okay.
$5 bet moves to, does Lamborghini debut three vehicles in Monterey or two vehicles in Monterey?
Okay. There you go. And if I win, I'm even. And if I lose, and
if I win, I'm up $10.
I'm sending you a pizza then.
Okay. Next up, and this one's going to be super, super quick. Lucid introduced the Stealth Look package for the Air. It's just a bunch of dark gray trim on the outside, and that's it.
Yep.
Oh, and some dark trim on the wheels.
I mean,
$6,000.
I mean, it looks pretty cool, and it's fast.
Yeah. It takes 35 of the exterior parts and adds what the company calls a dark stealth polished finish. And you can get it on just about any color as well. So you don't have to get a black car with this package, but it's a black package for the Lucid. It looks cool, but it's just black.
Here's a quick question for you, Bruce, and a quick question for all the ramblers that are listening out there, because we see black appearance packages all the time.
Sure, we do.
Are they better on an all black car, or do those appearance packages look better on a car with color, or like maybe like a specific color, white or red or blue or silver, or is it better on black? Cause my take is it looks so much better on a light colored car.
It does. A white car with a black package really pops. Cause it makes all of those bits kind of, you know, shine out more. So I definitely see that argument, but then you get that super stealthy look though, if you go with a black car with a blacked out package and it's just kind of one monochrome thing, they both have their advantages.
And I owned way back in the day, I had a black 1993, you guessed it, Taurus show. That's I swapped over the chromeless trim from the 94-95 model I had black headlight covers, black taillight covers. I even spray bombed the exhaust tips like a high temperature gray. I wanted it just like completely. I was going full stealth fighter with it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually that might be when I decided, you know what? It looks better on a lighter colored car.
Yeah. I would be curious about comments about that. Yeah. Here, last one for our Monterey preview. And that is, so the Myers Manx, if you're not familiar with it, it's the classic Volkswagen, kind of, you know, buggy essentially. In fact, there was a cartoon that Hanna-Barbera made like in the late 60s starring one of these things. It becomes the Myers Manx 2.0, and it now has a fully electric powertrain. You get a 40 kilowatt battery that covers 300 miles, and it looks cute as a button. Hard not to like it. It'll be there. It looks really cool. No argument here.
Yeah, no, I'm on board with the buggies. I like them. And keep in mind, folks, these are the things that we know about right now. We are fully expecting to be surprised at multiple points, probably within the next week and a half, as we get to the show and as the show goes on. Like we were saying in the beginning of the podcast, this one feels like it's bigger than normal. Certainly bigger than the last recent memory, possibly bigger than even pre-COVID. I'm getting a good sense of excitement around the show. It's also worth pointing out, we know Acura is going to do something. We don't have specific details on it yet, but we know that at least is coming. And yeah, I'm expecting some other surprise announcements along the way too.
Oh yeah, there's going to be a bunch of stuff, especially at like the Quail or stuff like that has either flown under the radar or just pure surprises. So yeah, there's going to be a lot more, and we'll find out all about that when it comes. But
and there'll be more in the future. But what are we doing now, man?
Let's talk about the GMC Canyon, the 2024 GMC Canyon to be specific, or the.
I was going
to say something mean. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Go for it.
Well, actually, GMC lists this has a 2023 model.
Do they?
They do list it as 2023. It's not going to go into production until the very beginning of 2023. So I was kind of surprised with you here that, okay, they're technically calling it a 2023 GMC Canyon. But this vehicle technically hasn't debuted yet. This debuts on August 11th. We're recording on August 10th, but we do have all of the information. 2023 GMC Canyon. The big news here, I mean, obviously, aside from it being an all new Canyon, is the arrival of the AT4X, which is an upgrade of the old outgoing AT4. And it's basically GMC's version of the Colorado ZR2. And they make it sound like a pretty intense off-roader, Bruce. The AT4X. The
new Colorado ZR2 is a pretty intense off. That makes sense because,
right,
you know, historically, right, these trucks ride on the same platform. So full disclosure, I don't have access to the press release. Smith did take a look at it, but weirdly enough, they did send me the pictures. So we are looking at the pictures now, but
we're looking at the photos.
I don't have any of the specs, but Smith, I'm guessing here, it rides on the same platform as the Colorado, like every other Canyon has.
Oh, shut right? your mouth. How did you know that?
So
how did you know that? Wait. Okay. So if you know that, can you tell me what engine it has?
Is it a 2.7 liter turbocharged four cylinder?
Holy crap. You're amazing. Yes. Yeah, so, okay. We're being a little silly here. I mean, yes, the Colorado, the Canyon, they're stable mates, obviously.
Right. The GMC is usually, it's a little bit of a step up. Either, you know, the interior might be a bit nicer, or maybe there are some different parts. I am saying this without looking at the press release, but I just know enough that, you know, there are going to be some minor differences.
Yeah. Well, let me rattle off some stats just to remind everybody, because the AT4X is brand new to this generation. It's got a 3-inch lift from the factory versus standard. It's got 33-inch tires, front and rear E diffs. It has the Multimatic shocks on it. 10.7 inches of ground clearance, 36.9 degree approach angles. The AT4X inside. And I think they all have the 11.3-inch touchscreen, 11-inch digital instrument cluster. You can get a heads-up display. They offer 10 various cameras outside to get 360 degrees all around the vehicle, and that includes waterproof underbody cameras, some of which also have features where they can wash the mud off of themselves, so you can see just how big the mud hole was after you went through it. What else we got here? Of course, I mean, it's a plethora of standard issue safety systems, like the auto braking, lane keep assist, things like that.
Okay, perfect. That was the segue I was going to go. Never mind. Go for it.
Here's where it gets a little interesting, because the Chevrolet Colorado, they're using the same powertrain. That's the 2.7 liter turbocharged four cylinder. In the Chevrolet Colorado, we were given three different tunes of that engine. Bruce, I think it started to like 237 horsepower, and then it went to
270 and then two 310s, I believe.
Oh, okay, 270. And then, two at 310 horsepower with just different levels of torque. Curiously, in GMC's press release for the Canyon, they mentioned the 2.7 liter turbo. It's standard across all Canyon trim levels. And it has an estimated 430 pound feet of torque, but they don't mention anything on horsepower. So either they haven't dialed in yet exactly what they're going to do with that engine in the different trim levels. And we haven't been given every single Canyon trim level yet either. I mean, they've been talking about the AT4X, which is obviously the range topper. There's also the AT4. There's the Denali. And it has, with the Colorado, the new versions of the Canyon are bigger than the outgoing versions of the Canyon, both, I mean, length, width, ride height. You're only getting the crew cab configuration with the single bed length. So those are all the same things.
So let me correct myself real quick, because you were right and I was wrong. You're right. It is 237 horsepower.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Base tune. You nailed it. For some reason, I had 270 in my head. 237 horsepower is the base tune of the 2.7 liter turbo. 310 is both the medium and high output tune, but the high output version gets you that 430 pound feet of torque. Mm-hmm. And it, at least, so again, I've not looked at the press release you have, but it sounds like the wording's a bit confusing, but maybe they're all getting the high torque engine.
I mean, that's the way it reads, but I want to be clear that GMC haven't listed any horsepower figures for the Canyon. The only figure they provided in their announcements, and that's still an estimated figure, is the 430 pound feet of torque. Now that matches up with the 310 horsepower version of the engine used in the highest trim levels of the Chevrolet Colorado. Correct. And the release does say this engine will be standard across all trims, but again, it's ambiguous. They might follow different tunes, just like the Chevrolet Colorado does, or GMC just might give the whole lineup the higher tuned engine. I mean,
it would be a selling point if you think about it. Like, it would be a reason.
And they might need a little extra help for that selling point, because we don't have absolute pricing yet for the starting level of the Colorado or the Canyon. GMC says around $40,000, and I'm trying to choose my words carefully here, because they were very non-specific on what that means for trim levels. Trim levels, plural, will start around 40,000, but the first one that will be built is the AT4X, and that starts at $63,350.
Oh boy.
That's a little bit of coin, man. That's a little bit of coin for a Canyon. One thing worth mentioning too, GMC will offer an Edition 1 package on the AT4X. And let me pull that up here really quick, because that's going to offer a few other items. That gives you front and rear facing underbody cameras with the watch function that I mentioned earlier. It gives you special off-road front bumper, front 30-inch off-road grille light bar. It gives you a winch, 17-inch bead lock capable wheels, the reconfigurable bed rail system, performance front skid plate, unique edition one tailgate badge. That will be, you know, that will be how they kick everything off. But the announcement wasn't clear if that $63,350 is for the AT4X with the Edition 1 package. So long story short, folks, more to come. This isn't going to go into production until early 2023. So, you know, probably towards the end of 2022 or maybe even in the beginning of 2023, we'll get more information on other Canyon trim levels, some more specific pricing. But Bruce, let me ask you, since you've seen the pictures, I think you've seen, and because we're just getting this information as we're recording, like in the last hour, hour and a half. So we're kind of learning about this along with all of you out there.
Yeah.
What do you think on styling, Canyon or Colorado?
I kind of like the Canyon better.
You like the Canyon a little bit better?
Yeah, I do. Exterior styling, interior, it's kind of a wash from what I can tell. But
yeah, interior, they're pretty much the same. The layout is the same. You'll probably find slightly better materials in the GMC, you know, as you would.
But exterior wise, where you, I prefer the Canyon's front grille to the Colorado.
I, you know, I think in regular trim, I would agree with you. But I think I like the Colorado ZR2. I think I like that styling. I think I like that look better than what I'm seeing here on GMC Canyon.
So, folks, on YouTube, I want you to weigh in, and I'm going to pull this up real quick so that you can see them. And so if you can vamp for me 1 second, I need to get a good there's a good three quarter.
That. Well, I tell you what. We, of course, okay, this is a great time for me to do my speech while you're doing that, because this is particularly poignant here. We would very much like to get your feedback on Canyon versus Colorado, and you can do that by commenting on our YouTube video that goes up. Motor One Podcast on YouTube is where you'll find it. If you're listening on a streaming platform, you can always email us, podcast@motorone.com. Let us know what you think there. You can always go to our article that goes up every Friday at motorone.com that summarizes the podcast, everything that we're talking about. You can leave a comment there. We're very interested in hearing your take, because for the past few years, it feels like there's been some controversy, I think, a little bit surrounding some of the styling decisions being made in the truck segment, not just at GM, but other automakers. And now we have two vehicles that are siblings. They're the same platform underneath. They're running the same powertrain. You sit inside them and they're going to feel about the same. They have same capabilities as far as really aggressive off-road features. The difference is coming down to styling, materials, and price. So we have the GMC Canyon, the brand new model, and then we have the Chevrolet Colorado. And we want to know which one you would prefer.
Yep. So I can't get them literally side by side, but I can do this. So we're going to play optometrist real quick. So better one or two. So one, here we have the GMC Canyon in AT4X trim. I think it's a good, I like it.
Yeah, it's not bad. I don't think it's bad. I think it's better than the outgoing model.
Oh, yeah. And then give me just a second. Here we have the Colorado in ZR2 Desert Boss trim. So ZR2 with basically some different wheels.
I mean, you know, when you look at them really close or really quickly like that, you realize just how similar they actually are. They're a little more similar than I was expecting. But the Chevrolet just feels a little bit edgier to me. In this segment, a more aggressive, higher-end off-roader, this feels a little bit more aggressive to me. It feels a little sharper. I'm going with the Chevy. And Bruce,
GMC.
do you remember? Did we have costs for the Colorado?
I in that story right now. I do not believe we had any costs. I'm going to double check. No, I would have had it in the story if we did. We did zero costs at all.
So interesting and interesting that GMC gives us a very specific figure for the AT4X of $63,350. We're not sure if that includes destination fees, but we don't have any pricing probably on the Chevrolet Colorado. Usually doesn't.
Yeah.
Usually doesn't. So an estimate of around 65,000 might be pretty realistic.
Pricey.
That's really pricey.
That's pricey.
For a GMC Canyon.
Speaking of pickup trucks and prices, perfect segue.
Da da da.
The 2023 Ford F-150 Lightning is $7,000 more than it was last year.
So much for the under $40,000 pitch. One and done, 1 year and done. I know prices are up. I know getting the materials, it's harder, but man, that's a big jump and a kick in the teeth. You know, I don't feel betrayed, but because I know a lot of Lightning sales aren't going with that entry level pro, but that's a major price jump year over year.
So it makes the tiniest of differences, but I will say this. So Ford increased their destination cost by $100 for the 2023 versus 2022. So technically, if we take away the destination fee, it's only $7,000 more expensive.
$7,000. Do we know, is there anything different about the 2023 Lightning?
There are several things different about the 2023 Lightning.
That could make a difference. Lay it on.
So, Ford makes heated seats now a standard feature, and what that allows them to do is here. Let me read the actual statement because I wrote the story. We were able to reduce the HVAC load on the battery while maintaining passenger comfort by making heated seats standard. I don't quite understand how that reduces the HVAC load, but regardless, it gives you an extra 10 miles of range in the EPA. So you now, the base battery now gets you 240 miles on a charge versus 230 miles on charge previously.
So you're getting an extra 10 miles on the base battery.
Right. On the
which would apply to the entry level F-150 Lightning.
Yes. The Pro, the XLT, or the Lariat, any of the ones without the extended range. So you can get the XLT with extended range, the Lariat or the Platinum all come with the extended range. But Pro, XLT, Lariat with the standard battery, you can go 10 more miles on a charge. So that's something. Also, there's a new Pro Trailer Hitch Assist system. And what that does, it controls the steering, the throttle, and the brakes when you're hooking up a trailer, and it's supposed to make that easier. That is, it's part of the tow technology package on the Pro, XLT, and Lariat.
Is that standard equipment, though?
It is not. That is an optional package.
Okay.
It is, however, standard equipment on the Lariat Extended Range and the Platinum. So on the two highest end trims, it's a standard feature. On everything else, it's an option.
Okay.
There are two new colors. We've got Avalanche Gray and Azure Gray Metallic Tri-Coat. But for 2023, we lose Atlas Blue, Ice Blue Silver, and Smoked Quartz Metallic. So we gain two colors, we lose three colors.
Okay. I need like a cricket sound effect here, because basically what we have is
Let me throw this last bit in because
one last chance.
Yep. If you so Ford has been doing it so that reservation holders, they have been kind of doing them in groups that they get the opportunity to place an order for the truck. If you were a previous reservation holder that for some reason the truck that you wanted wasn't available, so you said, hey, I'll wait for later. I will read the statement from Ford.
Okay.
Current order holders awaiting delivery are not impacted by these price adjustments. We've announced pricing ahead of reopening order banks so that our reservation holders can make an informed decision around waiting for a Lightning. And what that means is that the increased price isn't necessarily going to affect someone who delayed their reservation. Ford is going to go to them and they are going to kind of negotiate presumably a lower price. They didn't come out and say that, but they don't want, like it says, current order holders awaiting delivery are not impacted by these price adjustments. So if you already had a reservation, you placed an order, but your order hasn't been delivered yet, you don't pay the higher price for your truck. That's a little bit. It's not a lot. It's really not.
We have a $7,000 price increase for an extra 10 miles of range, and heated seats.
Standard heated seats. You could get them before, but now all of them get them.
But yeah, now it's standard. I mean, I'm a Ford fan. I guess the question I end up asking is, okay, did Ford just really underprice the Lightning to start with just to establish themselves in the field, or have cost gone up that much because a $7,000 year-over-year price increase without any appreciable extra equipment or significant changes, and I'm sorry, 10 miles of range, that's something that can be affected by just the direction that the wind is blowing, right?
Sure. So again,
I'm being a little critical.
I will quote Ford word for word here. Significant okay. material cost increases and other factors are the reason for the increased price.
And okay. At least Ford offered something there.
Can I make it kind of worse a little bit in a way? So a platinum extended range for 2023 is now $98,699 after destination fee. That's $6,130 more than the 2022 model year. And since that's the extended range battery and not the regular battery, they do not get that range increase. So they are paying $6,000 more essentially for that trailer assist feature. And that's all they're getting more than if they bought it last year.
Yep. I mean, it's the prices are up across the board, but let's be honest. If you are in a position to pay $90,000 for a vehicle, paying $98,000 probably isn't going to faze you too much.
That's true.
If, however, you were in the market for something right around the low $40,000 range,
you're now paying
getting close to 50,
49, 50 grand.
Yeah, getting close to 50 can make a big difference. People, you're watching your pennies a lot closer to that level. So kind of a bummer. I forgot
one little thing.
Oh, you keep pulling these things out that you forgot.
No, this one's the tiniest of them all. If a fleet is ordering an F-150 Lightning Pro, they can get the new special service vehicle package, and that puts in heavy duty cloth for the front seats, built-in steel intrusion plates, and you can add an optional LED warning light on the roof, because essentially if you're a fleet, could be police, although probably not, but like construction company, something like that. So seats that can take more abuse and a spinny light.
Well, you know, it's a sign of the times. I will give Ford credit for at least stating, hey, the price of materials is up. Everybody all around the world knows that everything is a little bit more expensive right now.
Yeah, and like I wrote still, this story, and
it's Ford, still kind of a bummer.
It's a bummer, but they weren't, you know, in talking to people, they weren't bad about it. Like, you know, I'm sure if you went to any product planner at Ford and said, did you want to raise the price by $7,000? Of course they didn't want to, but you know, it unfortunately that's the way things are.
It is a fact of life in 2022. You want to spend some fake money now, Bruce?
I'd love to.
Let's move on to what will probably be the final segment of the podcast.
Yeah,
this is a little unrehearsed, and as we just before we launched the podcast, I realized that okay, we're not doing things the way I thought we were going to. Long story short, we have the Nissan Z. Nissan launched the online configurator for the Z.
They sure did.
And people are paying attention to that. We did a most expensive post that you wrote, Bruce.
Yeah, I did both most expensive and a pricing post because we didn't really have a good pricing breakdown. So if you're looking on YouTube, you can see here's what it starts at after destination. So one of the cool things, and I think this is really nice and more automakers should do this, is that there is no price difference between if you want the 6-speed manual or the 9-speed automatic. So you're
selecting
your trim level.
Well done, Nissan. And rattle off these prices for those that can't see us on YouTube.
Absolutely. So this is after the $1,025 destination price. We prefer to do that at Motor One because that price is getting tacked on anyway. So we might as well, it's kind of like ripping off the Band-Aid. You might as well know what it's going to cost. So base model is called the Sport. That's $41,015. The higher trim is the Performance. That's $51,015, 10 grand more. And then there's the Proto Spec, which is technically an option package on top of the Performance. And that's $55,310. There's a caveat there, though, because they're only selling 240 of those in the United States for the 2023 model year. So if you got to act fast kind of to get if you want that Proto Spec. But yeah.
And I think Toyota would be sweating bullets right now. I would find a very difficult reason to go for the Supra over the new Z. What do you think, Bruce?
Yeah.
I mean, jumping right into just even a lower spec model in the low 40 range with your manual transmission.
The thing is, and we should mention this, is that the Z comes with one it comes with one engine. You can choose the transmission. It's a 3-liter twin turbo V6 making 400 horsepower and 350 pound feet of torque. Mm-hmm. So unlike the Supra, there's no compromise. You don't say, oh, I only got the 4-cylinder one, not the inline. Everyone's getting the same engine. It's just kind of what amenities and stuff like that you're getting with it for that money.
And at the same time, this is actually a Nissan. Whereas, I know. Right. Let's go ahead and send the hate mail. Podcast at MotorOne.com. The new Toyota Supra is really a BMW with Toyota coach-built body parts.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, it's a BMW engine. It's a BMW interior.
Not that there's anything wrong with that powertrain, but Toyota, I want a Toyota, right? I don't want a rebadged BMW. And that's I kind of feel that way about the car.
And I
agree. And I think a lot of people do.
Toyota is famous for its engineering, your 2JZs and just things like that. And not that BMW is not famous for engineering, but like if I buy, a Supra, I want it to be the best Toyota can put in. And, maybe it is an inline six or just whatever. And they kind of, it's a lot of BMW parts. Whereas, say what you will about the new Z that, there's a lot of things that are kind of still in common with the 370Z, but it's all Nissan. But
let's move on to the fun configurations. Because this is something we've never done before. And a lot of times when new cars come out, the automaker will launch the configurator and we'll share a post at MotorOne.com letting you know, okay, here's the price. The configurator is up. Jump into the configurator and have some fun. And we thought, well, maybe that could be cool here. And I thought we would do it online together and come up with the ultimate rambling about cars Nissan Z. And, I log in and I'm talking to Bruce. And Bruce is like, I configured mine earlier. I can't wait to show it. And I'm like, ooh, I didn't.
I misunderstood.
I misunderstood. But maybe we can build one here together.
Absolutely.
If we can figure out what we want.
That's why I'm not scrolling up right now, because you can see it says resume at the top of my screen, and I don't want you to see what I already built. So,
Okay. Well, I haven't built anything yet. Do you want me to share my screen? We can build it on mine.
Yeah, let's do it that way.
Okay, let me switch this over here. And for those who aren't able to go to YouTube, if you can try to get to YouTube at some point later on, you can see exactly what we're doing. We'll do our best to give you auditory clues here. So
exactly, this will be like an audio book.
Okay, how are we looking there? We got the configurator up. Looks good. Sure okay, do. So we're at NissanUSA.com, and we have. Well, I mean, the first choice is what trim are we going to go with? The Nissan Z Sport, the base model, $39,990 with a 9-speed auto, the 6-speed manual, the performance, or the proto spec. I mean, with money being no object, obviously you go for the proto spec. But let's try to be realistic, right?
There's a really good color on the performance.
Do you want to go with performance or do you want to try to do a really cool budget build?
Okay. So we should say the proto spec only comes in that yellow that you're seeing there. It's got a really cool name. It's something in Japanese. I'll butcher it if I try to do it off the top of my head, but it's got a cool name and it's a cool color, but it's the only color you can get. And since I kind of cheated and built one already, there's a color I like more. Let's do a budget build. I think that's fair.
Okay, so it's got to be the manual then, right?
Okay.
Do you want the automatic? Do you really want the automatic?
It for my uses, I need a car my wife can drive, so I need the automatic. But let's pretend you and I are living together. We're the odd couple. Statler and Waldorf.
We're the odd couple. Well, now I feel like I'm bullying you, and I don't want to bully
you. No, you're not bullying me. No, okay.
All right, then let's get this Nissan Z Sport with a 6-speed manual. Yeah?
Cool. Yes.
Starting MSRP $39,990 plus destination.
Right.
The V6 twin turbo coming this fall, build and price. Okay. Now we're onto the exterior screen.
So and they have all of these offers. Just click the X there on the right because they want their financing offer. So get rid of that. Okay.
So paint color. We'll start with paint color. What do we got here? Two-tone Ikizuki yellow tri-coat?
That's the one that's exclusive to the Proto.
Two-tone passion red tri-coat. Two-tone Syrian blue tri-coat. Two-tone boulder gray pearl. Two-tone brilliant silver metallic with black. Two-tone Everest white with black. Rosewood metallic, diamond or black diamond pearl, gun metallic. Can we not have it be some shade of gray or black?
We can, because check out that rosewood metallic. To me, that is just a dead sexy color.
Oh, look at that. I gotta take my glasses off for a second. That's good.
Good, right?
That's good. Let me just take a quick look at this two-tone. Oh, that's good too, though, Bruce.
I think if you scroll down just a bit, you can switch the angle so you can like see it front on.
The two-tone passion red tri-coat with super black. So you have the black roof with just a bright red body. It's not letting me scroll here.
Okay, never mind. Maybe I'm wrong. I know you can switch views later.
What's this blue? Oh man, that blue looks good too. I'm a big fan of blue. You want to go with the rosewood's good though.
We don't have to go rosewood. I would go red and black as well. Just the blue and black wasn't doing it for me. I would say between rosewood and red black two-tone.
Let's go rosewood. What do you think?
I love that color. So you're not going to get any fight out of me.
All right. So let's see there. Show available interiors. Okay. Here's.
So the only issue with the rosewood is you only get the black interior.
The graphite cloth interior. You know, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay. So click done there, and let's pick our next choice.
I'm just kind of taking a look. Yeah, that looks good. Yeah, we need to hurry up. We could do this for like an hour. So.
Oh, I got nowhere to be.
Yes, vehicle in stock. Body protection.
Do we want anything there?
The splash guards or the hood protectors? No. We can always do that in the garage.
Exactly.
We don't need to pay $200. Styling.
What do we got?
the chin spoiler.
Oh,
the rear spoiler, dual racing stripes.
Oh, the dual racing stripes look cool. I had that on mine. They're just on like the roof and the back. They're not on the hood. They look kind of cool. Check that out.
Okay. Let's put the chin spoiler on. I want to see how that looks.
See how that looks.
Doesn't look any different.
No, I mean,
it's very, very subtle. Yeah,
I can
for $170, we can do without that. But we wanted to see the stripes, right?
Yeah, you need to go to the back because they're not on the hood. They're just on the roof and the rear deck.
All right, let's take a look here at the back. Let's move the image back to the back.
So see there, if you look just...
Okay, I see it. It's kind of subtle.
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of subtle, and we did add the rear spoiler for, I think it was $630.
I think you got to... I know we're trying to do a budget build, but the rear stripes, I could say yes or no. Okay, I could see that, but the rear spoiler's got to be there. That just I think too Z without it.
I think it absolutely has to be there, and I mean, budget build, I mean, we're at $42,000.
Okay.
I mean that's not cheap, but that's, I mean, for a 400 horsepower rear wheel drive sports car with a 6-speed, I think that's doing pretty darn good.
And keep in mind, with the destination, it's 41, so we've only added like $1,000 in options so far.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on here, lighting.
Let's see. We don't
exterior need, ground lighting. Was
we don't need ground.
Is that going to be like lighting. The? We can go over to the auto parts store and get that ourselves, man.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't need that.
What? It's a $395 option. Is it like the puddle, like the door lighting?
I think they are puddle lights. Yeah. If you click, so if you see the little arrow on the right hand side of the screen, if you click on that, it explains what things are. Right. Yep. Click there. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Oh no! It's not puddle. It's actual ground effect lighting.
Oh, that's factory. Tacky as hell.
That's kind of tacky. Yeah, we're not going to do that. If I'm going to do that, that shit's going to be like neon yellow or something. People are going to see it. I don't want white.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So we'll remove that. That's the only option in lighting. And now we're up to miscellaneous already.
Evidently. And we don't need wheel locks.
Wheel locks for $70. No, we don't need that.
We don't need wheel locks.
We don't need that. So are those the only options on the on the sport?
No. So see on the top where it says exterior, interior, accessories?
Oh, okay. I was going to say, there's no interior options? Okay, so we got the graphite cloth, weather protection. That's going to be what, like floor mats?
Floor mats, probably.
Let's skip that. If I want to go floor mats, you know, we can get some nice weather tech or something, right?
Yep.
Technology. Here we go.
This is a weird one. Virtual key for $450, and it appears to just be like an app.
An app? Yeah. Start it up. Lock, unlock doors. Start your Nissan Z all without a key. Uses an app on your compatible smartphone or Apple Watch. Key? I bet this is going to be like an unlockable software thing. Is what this is going to be. I mean, they're certainly not charging $450 for an app. It'll be a software thing that if you choose the option, they just unlock that part of the software and then you can connect your phone to the Nissan app. I'm not too keen on that unless you want it.
No.
$450 option. Yeah.
Nope.
USB charging cable set for $90.
I can buy USB cables for cheaper than $90.
So. Now the dual camera drive recorder.
So click on the arrow. That one is neat.
For $360.
Right. It's a dash cam that comes straight from the factory.
I would go for that just because I have dash cams in my vehicles and they work well, but I mean, it's always kind of a pain to route the wiring. I just have them with suction cups on the windshield. When it's hot, like it's been here in South Dakota for the last week and a half, if you park outside for a couple hours, you come out and you find they're off the windshield. A good quality camera for $360 points forward to capture what is in front of the vehicle, points inside to catch what happens in the cabin, impact sensor. I'm good for that.
I have no fight there. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's add that sucker. And let's see. That's...
Yep,
technology, lighting, interior accent lighting, What is that? Just LEDs?
Just ambient lights.
Yeah. For $445? No. No. The point of this car is to drive it and enjoy it and just have a blast. Right. So the brushed metallic illuminated kick plates. Those kind of looks
cool, but I don't know if it's $400 cool.
$400 cool. Yeah, I'm sure you can find some aftermarket items if you wanted to dress it up.
I mean, they do look good, no doubt.
But I don't know if it looks good.
$400 if I would want it.
I mean, we're just looking at it. Stainless steel. Just stainless steel door kick plates. Yeah, a little pricey. Let's move on here. Let's move on from that one. Cargo. What's this going to be, like a cargo cover? Carpeted trunk protector, cargo nets. I generally never get any of this stuff. Well, the retractable cargo cover, though.
I pay, like, the one in our Subaru was half that money. So I don't understand why that's $500.
Yeah, $500 is pretty expensive. And I mean, we're talking about just a retractable cover,
right?
That you pull back that hides what might be underneath in the
hatch area. And they are useful. And also, they keep stuff out of the sun as well. So if you got stuff back there, it does keep stuff cooler. They're useful, but $500 is kind of pricey.
And there isn't just like a standard hardcover that comes with it?
Evidently
not. It doesn't look like, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we could skip all of that then.
Yeah, let's... I like the idea of having a cover back there.
But I do too, but
not at $500. Yeah, not at $500.
We paid less than that for the stripes we put on it.
Okay, safety and comfort, emergency road kit, Nissan Z first aid, security impact sensor, a trash bin or a seatbelt extender. Yeah, we're just...
No, we don't need any of that.
Nope, we're noping out of that.
Miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous adds, carpeted floor mat package for $380.
I did add on mine the frameless auto-dimming mirror. I do love frameless an auto-dimming mirror.
Yeah, those are nice. I'm not even going to click the arrow on that. I'm just going to click add because I'm with you on that one. Yeah. Nissan Z owner's manual portfolio for $25. Oh, look at that. It's just
cool.
It's just a neat little package for the owner's manual that you're never going to read. It's $25. Can we do it?
Sure.
Can we buy it? It looks cool
for $25. I would hope your dealer would just like throw it in, but.
Yeah, the dealer will throw it in for like $150 market adjustment, right?
There you go.
Okay, so that's lighting,
everything,
cargo. There. Oh, that's everything there in accessory.
And so actually, accessories just reiterates everything. Because
really,
like I said, I've done this already. But yeah, if you click through, it's just
okay.
All the other stuff we already saw, just kind of organized in a different way.
Yeah. Okay, that is weird. So that's it then, right? We're done. Are we built?
Yeah, so let's see.
Move to summary. You're almost done. Get the best local pricing. Yeah, we're not gonna. I'm familiar with my Nissan dealer. So
$42,840, and it started at $39,990 and $1,000. We only added like $1,500 in options.
$1,225 for the exterior, $600 for the interior, and then
$1,800.
Yeah, and then additional cost, that'll be the destination of $1,025. Total cost, $42,840.
Am I jaded for saying that's not bad for a... those stripes.
I don't think it's bad. Yeah, the stripes, I'm generally not a fan of stripes. If they
like the fact that they're not on the hood. It's just the roof and the rear deck.
They are on the hood, but they don't extend all the way down.
You're right. Yeah.
They're just kind of right up there on the power bulge, but they don't extend all the way down like you would see like a Shelby stripe. I'm not a fan of big stripes like that. But these look properly subtle. There's a view from the rear. Yeah, a little spoiler from the rear. There's another view rear of the driver's side.
Interior maybe? Maybe?
Side on.
You don't get a look at the interior.
No, okay. We don't get another look at the interior.
Okay.
I wish there was an option to change the wheels though. Did we miss anything there?
Was there an option? As far as I know, the only way The performance gets a set of wheels, and then the proto-spec gets a different set of wheels.
Okay.
So there are only three wheel options, and essentially you have to get another package to get them.
And the thing I don't really like about these, I'm just not a huge fan of dark wheels in general, especially on a darker colored car. And this particular shade is a nice deep maroon red.
So go to our paint colors again. I'm curious. Can you
on here?
I feel like there aren't that many light colored paint colors, are there?
You've got
silver.
Yeah, you've got silver. You do have white.
Let's see that.
The white with the black. You know, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. The black wheels look a lot better on that white car than they do on the maroon.
Yeah.
And I also like that these wheels are a fairly basic five spoke design. Nothing over engineered, nothing crazy. I would just like those in just like a silver or aluminum. I'm still kind of old school like that. I like the brighter, flashier wheels.
But keep in mind, this is the first model year for this. And adding wheels is something any automaker is going to do because that's a stupid, easy thing to kind of introduce. So, but yeah, you and I showed that you can get a very nice 2023 Nissan Z for a that's with that color. What was it with the rosewood? It was 42 something.
Rosewood.
Click on a non price added color real quick.
Yeah, rosewood metallic is a no charge paint color.
Yeah, all of these 840.
All of these two tones, they're varying in price from $895 for the gray pearl and black up to the two tone passion red with super black. That's $1,695. So,
They really need to add more colors. I think that's an issue.
Yeah, you've got the rosewood metallic there. That's a no charge color. Yep. You've got black diamond pearl. I mean, it's black.
It's black.
Then you have the gun metallic, which is a gunmetal gray. The rosewood, that's an attractive color, and it doesn't cost extra.
Right. Well, this was actually really fun. Listeners, let us know, because I had a lot of fun doing this. Smith, I hope you had fun doing this. I could see doing this again with some other interesting vehicles, especially something new comes out. We kind of already do our configurator series on Motor One. So if someone's watching this and kind of thinks it's fun, let us know, because
give some feedback on this.
This was a neat idea. You came up with this, and I could see doing it again.
We're kind of just going by the seat of our pants here. Hopefully it's not too boring on your side, but if you're into cars, I mean, we all like to dream, right? We all like to shop, and we especially like to shop when we don't have to spend any money. So this is sort of a way you can go in and build your own dream car, whether it's a $40,000 Nissan Z or it's a $250,000 911.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Car fans, go to Porsche's configurator. Maybe we'll just have to do that one day just for fun.
Dude, that would have to be
the amount of customization that their configurator lets you do. Like, do you want yellow?
That would be a 3-hour podcast trying to get through all of that. This configurator was actually pretty easy to use. And they don't offer a lot of features, at least on the lower trim here, the Z. Yeah. Anybody that's been on a Porsche configurator.
It's absurd.
Yeah. What color stitching do you want for your seat belts? You know, it's a lot of options, and everything costs money. So, let us know what you think on this. You know, the drill, email us podcast@motorone.com. Comment on our video that goes up on YouTube, Motor One Podcasts. Comment on our article that goes up every Friday. Hit the like, hit the follow, hit the subscribe. Wherever you're at, let your friends know. We want to do more stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much going to be our podcast for today. And sure, we promise, because now for like the last few weeks, we're always saying, email us, let us know.
Right.
Next week, we've got so many good comments. We have some cheap car challenges that were sent to us. We have
from Europe, no less.
Yes. And we have some great feedback, some great insight that's been posted on YouTube. We're going to get to all of that, I promise.
Totally. Yeah. I definitely want to go through all that stuff. It seems like, fingers crossed, next week might be maybe a slightly slow-ish news week. I know there's one.
You just doomed us now, man.
I did. But yeah, I want to get to as many comments as we can. Yep. I am not off of work. I am off a week on comments. I got the previous episodes. I responded to all of those. I haven't gotten to the most recent episodes comments. And I will do that as soon as I can. Smith and I, our personal stuff has gotten all sorts of wonky recently. So we're trying our best. But yeah,
exciting times.
Exactly. As always, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. We love the fact that you're listening to us. We hope you enjoy the show. We'd love getting your comments. I promise you we're going to read them. But this has been a really fun episode. Smith, your idea to do the configurator thing, I think that's got some legs, unless it just bored everyone else to tears. But it was really fun for me.
You
know, so
before we go, I know you're doing your spiel, but
yeah, go for it.
What did you build?
So I did a performance trim. So the next level up in that, the rosewood, because I think that color is fantastic. There is, I won't have time to pull it up. Oh, we got to, let me see if I can pull it up. There's an old image of a 240Z and I swear that same color.
Well, probably
that, I have looked at. Oh, you know what? First try. I found it. Hold on 1 second. Let me pull this image up and I will share it.
I mean, as I think about it now, I think I've seen some of those older 240s in that same shade of rosewood, that deeper maroon color.
So, yeah, I think the rosewood's maybe a bit lighter, but this is a 72 240Z in such a similar color. And it just fits those cars so well. So I thought that was cool. But yeah, I went with the performance with that. And then just like I got the dimming rear view mirror because my wife and I have that in our Subaru. And I don't know if I could live without it on a nighttime drive now. Like they're just so useful because you don't get blinded. Mm-hmm. I put in the dash cam. I got all weather floor mats, you know, just a smattering of like useful stuff, you know, nothing crazy.
Very good. And I totally botched your closing. So let's pretend we do a take two for those that like tune out. As soon as you hear Bruce say good afternoon, good evening or good night, you screwed up this time around because there was more, buddy.
So let me see. Good morning. Good lunchtime, good dinner. I was trying to do something there. But yeah, we love you all. We love you listening. We love your comments. We actually do read them. I can tell you, I have read all the comments. I just haven't had a moment to respond to the comments, which, so please understand that. But I do read them all. Smith, I think you read them all.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do look at them. It's just, you know, sometimes just life gets in the way, but we love you all. We love doing the show. But yeah, it's fun. Have a good evening. Have a good morning, wherever you are. Have a good drive. But yeah, we love you. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.